Thank you. I'm really appreciative to the caucus for sponsoring this, and to my co-panelists for an opportunity to speak in a, with a panel that's receptive to these ideas, and hopefully the audience is too. I do have to make a disclosure of commercial interest in the last 12 months, royalties from Oxford University Press. I did not request Martin nor pay him for that announcement. And to say that, I mean, after that presentation of his, I could just say, I'm not going to, but I could just say, yes, in Supreme Court, made a very bad decision, and everything he said is true, and they exacerbated that. But I will fill you in a little bit on this. Public health has a long history of research and advocacy efforts related to corporate products and practices ranging across a wide variety of industries and products, and asbestos, and automobile safety, food and beverages, which is a particularly big one now. And we learned some tactics about corporations, the corporate tactics, particularly from the tobacco industry, and we've seen that those are generalizable across corporations. Most of public health work in this area has been focused on a specific industry, a company, or a product, whether it's been our research or our advocacy. Not so much the corporation as an institution that is a distal social determinant of health, which is the approach that I take. And the Supreme Court's ruling in the Citizens United case really brings an added emphasis to this perspective and raises serious concerns about the field of public health to continue to really affect health policy development and to implement protective measures. So a little bit about the case itself. During the 2008 presidential primaries, a nonprofit organization called Citizens United, which also received funds from for-profit organizations, that wanted to air and planned to air a documentary film, but one that was critical of Hillary Clinton. And they planned to air it on video on demand, but they wanted to advertise it on regular network and on a regular cable, which went against the regulations. And so they filed a suit against federal elections, which, because those regulations prohibit what they wanted to do. And so they filed a case that went to the Supreme Court. So in January 21 of 2010, the Supreme Court made a 5-4 ruling on this case. And there were several critical aspects. The court ruled that the film was indeed advocating for against Hillary Clinton. And prior to this decision, corporations could contribute, actually officials and employees and stockholders of corporations could contribute to election campaigns through political action committees, which have regulations to them, like they have to have a separate treasurer and accounting and they have to report regularly, and that's overseen by the Federal Elections Commission. Well, so the Supreme Court decision said that those restrictions, you know, reporting and having a treasurer and separate accounts and so on, and the amount that was limited as how much they could contribute, that was a restriction on corporations' right to free speech. The court said that laws that prohibit corporate independent campaign expenditures, and I'll explain what that is in a minute, independent campaign expenditures were a ban on free speech. And independent expenditures are those that are spent on communications that advocate for or against a candidate, but they're not coordinated with that candidate's campaign or the parties or their agents. So essentially, the court upheld the FEC requirements for disclosure, but basically it opened the floodgates for corporate direct expenditures from the corporate treasury. That's different from the PACs, because that was the officials, presidents, CEOs, and so on, the employees, and the stockholders put into this PAC. The amount they could contribute was limited. But now, if it's not coordinated with the campaign, the parties, they can contribute as much as they want to. And the key to it is also that it's corporate funds. It's not the funds from the individual. It's from that corporate treasury itself. So the majority made several interesting arguments to support their ruling, or at least in their ruling. They said that corporations don't have disproportionate influence, and won't. That corporations are a collective of individuals with rights of speech. And the fact that corporations, in their opinion, that corporations are not natural persons is irrelevant. Natural persons, human citizens like you and I, that's irrelevant. They also said that labor unions can do the same thing. They have that right. And that the imbalance between the assets of unions and corporations really is irrelevant too. And in the article, I point a number of arguments against each of these, but here's one that kind of interesting, that all the assets of all the unions in the entire country combined amounts to 0.10% of the assets of the four largest banks. The court said that corporate election spending would not have a corrupting influence on the elections, nor even the appearance of quid pro quo for votes. And the corporation said, the court said, well, anyway, corporations already have influence through lobbying. Maybe they didn't shrug their shoulders, but. So there are a number of implications for public health. And here's some of the issues that perhaps if a candidate, just think about it, if a candidate takes a position on these or any other of our public health issues that's contrary to what the corporate officials want, the corporation can put any amount of money they want to into advocating for or against that candidate's election. And those that already have a voting record, like in our nation's health, we come out every year, rating sort of, the members of the House and the Senate. All they have to do is look at that and say, okay, look, somebody voted 90% of the time with the American Public Health Association, and we don't like this, this, and this, and we're going to go after that candidate. And those who are particularly vulnerable also are those who might have a corporate facility located in their district, and they take positions that are contrary. So it really doesn't matter what your public health issue is. Taking a position on that opens a candidate up to corporate opposition or support. So there are a number of implications for democracy that I've identified a few of them here. And as we saw in the November 2nd election, the court's decision allowed for an increase in the amount of money spent in elections. Right at $4 billion was spent on our recent election. Corporate campaign election spending can influence democracy in several ways, but basically it's that corporations now have even a greater disproportionate influence on democracy and policymaking than individual humans did, or human sort of groups did in the past. And I've given you just a few examples. Some of them I'm sure that you saw in the media as well. I'm not sure it's really the best thing to say that I'm from Arizona. Some of these are Arizona examples, but the part of the state I live in is very liberal. Just some examples. You all heard about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and how they vowed to spend $75 million defeating those who voted in favor of the Health Care Act. Target contributed to a governor campaign who had definite anti-gay rights positions. Fox News Corporation gave over $1 million, $1.25 million, I believe, to a governor's association. These range from national to local. That's what's happening with corporate. So that's why I put in the Arizona Cardinals gave some money to defeat a medical marijuana referendum that was on the Arizona ballot. The Southwest Ambulance gave a huge chunk of money to the city of Scottsdale city council members who are running for election. And you've probably heard about the Koch brothers and the huge amount of money that they were pouring into some of these groups that were doing these independent expenditure groups. One of them is identified here. Another thing I want to point out is that one of the Kochs actually has a position on the advisor group to the National Cancer Institute. And one of their companies has done lobbying EPA to try to get formaldehyde exempted from a causative agent. So that's some examples of how this has happened. Let me give you some others. After the Supreme Court ruling, there was a proliferation of these independent expenditure organizations. There was an increase in contributions to them. Those organizations spent more money on politics than they have in the past. And they were reporting their donors less than they had in the past. And there was just less oversight by the FEC and the IRS, which some of the organizations fall under, because of just the lack of resources and person power. So here's sort of what happened in this election. 149 independent groups gave $161 million in this election, mostly to 10 different groups. Around 60% of it was from undisclosed sources. And ideological groups, business associations, and unions, what they contributed was a 367% increase over the 2006 midterm election. And there's some preliminary analyses that suggest, again, from public citizens, like this information is, that those contributions seem to have had an influence on the outcome of the election. In 58 of the 74 election contests in which power changed hands, these independent groups spent predominantly on behalf of the winning candidates. Only 14 of the losing candidates received more help from independent groups than their opponents. The winning candidates were aided by an average of $764,326 contributions by independent groups. The losers averaged $273,268, a ratio of 2.8 to 1. So there are a number of proposals that have been set forth about what we need to do about this and how we might approach it. There are three of these that are sort of major and being considered, have been considered at various levels within the U.S. Congress, being introduced by various senators and representatives. One is that we add an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that corporations are not persons and do not have the rights of human beings, that is, political speech. Now, there's some disagreement amongst organizations about this. Some are pushing for a constitutional amendment that would say corporations are not persons. That would be more broadly encompassing and stop a lot of other things besides election campaign funding from corporations. The Fair Elections Act now would provide a certain amount of public funding for campaign elections if someone was able to raise very small amounts of human citizens' contributions. This Disclose Act really relates to disclosing contributions. Now, some of these have been voted out of committee. Others were filibustered, like a lot of things that happened. There are a lot of other proposals that could have an effect as well, and this is the approach that some people are taking. Let's go at it in something they believe more realistically than a constitutional amendment. As some of you know, some of you probably here, like I did, worked on the ERA a number of years ago, and it's very difficult to get a constitutional amendment passed. Not many of them do, so some people say we need to go other routes and attack it on smaller levels. And so here are some examples, a wide range of examples that of things that we might do, such as a qualified candidate would get amounts of free broadcast time and other restrictions on people for where they hire lobbyists to receive money from abroad, government contracts. Some people suggest an excise tax on contributions and expenditures, prohibiting trading stock on national exchanges, SEC disclosure of contributions, like corporations have to make a quarterly report to the SEC. The CEO would have to sponsor the political ad, like the little tag that goes on. That's part of that disclosure that's still supposed to be required. Limit spending by foreign-owned corporations, contractors, inform shareholders, give them rights of to say what they want their money to be funding. Designated amounts, accounts, separate accounts, which the ruling didn't require. So corporations can commingle all these funds they want to. We never really would be very difficult to find out what they're really spending on political campaigns unless it's separated from accounts. And rules against coordination between PR people and lobbyists and those kinds of things. So this whole wide range of options. The problem is, the bottom line to all of this change is that through their lobbying and their election contributions, corporations can essentially stop any of these from happening unless you and I take action at our level. And I want to mention at least three organizations that are working, and there are numerous, but there are at least three that you ought to take a look at the websites if you're interested in this. and organizing, working on these kinds of things. There's a website called Free Speech for People. There is an organization called Progressive Democrats of America that has a special group that's working on this called the Amend to Suspend. And of course, Public Citizen is very active in this activity as well. So there's a lot of recommendations for us, specifically in public health. I think we need to reframe the way we look and talk about corporations. Not that this particular product is harmful or this particular company is harmful, but the corporation as an institution that we need to refocus, reframe. We need to reframe the way we think about this. And also goes something that Martin said. We've got to stop using terminology like that corporation is really bad or they're really evil. Corporations are not people. They're a piece of paper. That's what they are. Those people who work in the corporation, they're officials, they have certain rules. It's only to represent the corporation. Those, when they go home, they may treat their children and their family well, but when they're at work, the only thing that matters is the corporation. That's the only thing they can do. So we've got to change our language there as well. And refocus on that institution. We need more research on election funding and what that does in terms of public health and support for public health and the way legislators vote. We already have within our professional body a huge amount of scientific knowledge of the effects of corporate products and their operations. APHA is members are great at coalition building and working with other groups. We need to apply those. We have policy development advocacy skills. And in our schools of public health and other health programs, we need to integrate this kind of information into all of our courses, have separate courses. We really need some curriculum revision to focus on this as a social determinant of health. So in my opinion, whether we apply our research or advocacy or coalition building or policy development skills or redesign our public health curriculum, the public health field needs to refocus its efforts on addressing corporate influence on health policy. And again, it doesn't matter what one's area of focus is. If it's worker health and safety, access to reproductive services, school health education, human rights, product safety, environmental sustainability. Underlying them all, I mean, it would be hard-pressed, I think, to come up with a public health issue that at its foundation, there's not some corporate influence, a corporate product, a corporate service, a corporate policy, or some operations. And most fundamental to it, again, as Martin mentioned, thank you, is to public health is whether or not the results of our elections will represent corporations or human citizens. And therefore, is government going to give precedence to the health of the public or to corporate interest? And I believe that if public health is to remain a viable endeavor with any hope of significant influence on the health of the public, the profession must respond by refocusing our efforts on fundamental reform of the corporation, and particularly the right political speech. Thank you.